Welcome to another edition of She Persisted here on the Progressive Voices Network. My name is Melissa Carter. I am so happy that you've joined us. I welcome you. It's a pleasure to have you. She Persisted Show is what you're looking for online. If you are new here or been here a while and just want to be part of the show, shepersistedshow.com is our website. She Persisted Show is what you find, where you find us rather, on iTunes. If you don't want to miss an episode, then go to iTunes and you can listen to it anywhere you are. ProgressiveVoices.com is also our home base with all other kind of great podcasts that you can listen to. So how are you? I got to tell you that you would think after living in Atlanta for 30 years that I wouldn't suffer from allergies. And actually, the allergies were a little worse already than normal. Not to complain. I'm not complaining because I'm so happy that the sunshine and the temperatures are starting to rise, have arrived, that spring is here, right? Are we officially in spring at this point? But allergies have come too. And what's really weird is, again, I usually don't get them, but man, I mean, I woke up late last week, I mean, throat on fire. I went to work and everybody else was in a similar boat. And we looked online to see what it was, some kind of tree. Decided that its limbs are going to wrap around my throat and try to choke me. It also recommended that with allergies that not only do you leave the windows closed at your house, I don't have windows that I open and close in my home, but it said also to take a shower like before you go to bed after you've been outside. So I tried to incorporate that a little bit. Neti pot. I'm a big believer in the neti pot because I try to do everything I can to not take allergy medicine. One thing about having a kidney transplant, 17 years out, is that I can't take a decongestant. So I can't take certain medication that could harm my kidney, and decongestant's one of them. So a decongestant is pretty much in every cold medicine. So everything that makes you feel better when you have a cold is something I can't take. I can take an antihistamine, but a decongestant is actually the one that kind of reduces that swelling and actually does the trick. So the most I can take is an allergy pill, which is nothing but antihistamine. I try not to even do that because it's still, I don't know, I'm sensitive to medicine, I guess. It makes me feel groggy. Like, I just, bleh. I'm one of those people, I don't like being on medicine. I know there are people who are addicted to things, and I feel so bad for them. I don't know what I could be addicted to because I just can't stand the feeling of something like that in my system. So I try to do everything I can to stay well naturally and doing a better job of eating right and trying to do a better job of exercising, but also neti pot, even when I'm not sick. You know, the funny thing when you neti pot, and if you don't know what that is, it's the little, it's from Asia, and it's a kind of a, this long kind of saucer-like device that you rinse your nose out with, saline, distilled water. Very important that you don't put regular water in that. You clean your nose out. You know, you use the, it kind of uses, I don't know, pressure to go from one in nostril out the other. It doesn't hurt. It's not uncomfortable. It looks weird. It may seem like a weird concept, but it cleans out your nose, and the saline, the salt, helps keep your nose from having a lot of congestion in it. Well, the weird thing about it, though, is when I get colds, because I fought one this year, I rarely get them, and I rarely get allergies. But when I do, it's in my ears and my throat. Like, I've cleaned out my face, which I'm glad because it's less distracting that way. I can breathe, and I can sleep at night. But my throat, I mean, this, my throat has been on fire. I highly recommend the neti pot. My son says, "What are you doing, Mama?" And I just tell him I'm cleaning my nose out. And I'm like, "Do you want me to clean your nose out, son?" And he's like, no. At four, he has no interest in Mama's neti pot. But I'm glad that springtime is here. I'm glad that we're getting into warmer weather. I'm glad that, you know, even we're getting into shorts weather and swimming, you know, swimsuit weather. Ladies, I know this is a stressful time of year. Big transition. You have to face the realities of whatever you intended to do. And you've got to learn that you love you for who you are. There's a bathing suit out there that'll fit everybody. Just don't worry about it. The biggest transition is you got to take that razor out too, don't you, ladies? Yep. It's that time of year where, unless you're in a relationship, and even sometimes when you're in a relationship, you let that go. But especially if you're single, and I've been single this winter, especially when you're single, you got to take that razor out because you've forgotten. You've forgotten. And you got to keep up maintenance more so in the spring and summer than you do in the wintertime. So I want to give a quick shout out to a listener who is very supportive of this show and very supportive of me and keeps up with me on Facebook. And it's Tammy G. You know who you are. Hey, Tammy. She wrote this beautiful piece after our show last week. And if you missed it, I talked about my experience with Christianity and that my biggest pet peeve with the current Christian culture, at least what is known in public and what is a terrible habit of a lot of followers of the Christian religion, is the fact of loving thy neighbor that's only like you. So I basically talked about my experience as growing up very active in the Christian church and then being separated from it because of my sexuality and the judgment that was placed on me based on my sexuality and how the church still attacks the LGBT community. I gave the example of just the Methodist church a few weeks ago. So Tammy wrote a beautiful piece, paragraphs long, basically reaching out to other Christians because she truly was shocked and touched by what I had said. I'm only going to read a part of this piece, but in it she says, "So we call ourselves followers of Christ, but then proceed to look down on others for the way they dress, the way they behave, the way they believe, or whom they love, anything we decide to focus in on really. Looking down on someone is not loving them, and if you are not loving them, you are not following God's greatest commandment, and thus, you are most certainly not following Christ. Please don't forget the parable of the Good Samaritan from Luke 10, which reminds us that not only were Samaritans looked down on by good Jews for ethnic reasons, but also for religious reasons. They practiced a different version of the faith than the Orthodox Jews of the time did. Jesus responded to their prejudices by telling a story about a Samaritan who was closer to the kingdom of God than both a priest and a bishop." And she suggested that Christians read that again. Thank you, Tammy, for your support. And thank you, Tammy, for putting yourself out there and letting your followers know how you felt about that. Because I do think it's very difficult to go against what is considered acceptable in any realm. It doesn't matter if it's religion or not. Sometimes in the religious circle, it is more difficult to stand out on your own, because the one thing I love about religion, and meaning I'm fascinated by it, the thing that draws me to it, is the fascination of how powerful an effect it has on people. If it is a positive effect in which you make grand change in the world for the better, what a powerful tool that is. But at the same time, and as we're seeing lately, not only in the way that people personally feel about each other, but groups are feeling about each other and how people are killing each other, obviously have done that for centuries, but really individuals, not armies, but individuals are taking up arms against each other based solely on religion and taking each other, taking lives based on religion. It seems that this is a time in which that same power is really having a terrible negative toll. And I think sometimes as adults, we forget the effect we have on other people, and we don't take responsibility for that influence. And the reason I say that is because I think there's so many copycat crimes that take place. My mother used to say that while I was growing up. My mother and father were big into watching the news. Walter Cronkite was the king, but they would flip around to other networks too. When I grew up, when the news came on at night and everybody gathered to watch what happened during the day, because we were not in an environment in which we learned what happened as things happened, I remember her distaste for local news and some national news when they got to the point where they only reported on things that were violent. Because my mother felt that there were copycat occurrences that were happening, and that she thought that society could be easily led in that direction. And I remember at the time thinking that she was old fashioned. And I thought that she was small minded about it because I apparently had more faith in people, I guess, than I felt she had faith in people. But then I grew to realize, and it was really, especially after Columbine. Columbine was this horrific crime that happened. We were all shocked by a school shooting. We had heard about school shootings in other parts of the world. This was the first time we were dealing with it on such a big scale here in the United States. Everybody was gripped. Everybody was paying attention. Since then, how many school shootings have happened? Since then, do we actually pay that much attention to it anymore, to be honest with you? And honestly, even though I saw on social media the outpouring of support for those who died in New Zealand, and absolutely there should be an outgoing of support, but was there anybody out there that truly had to make an effort to have the same sympathy that they may have had 20 years ago? Any United States citizen that you truly had to make an effort, because you have grown so used to it, so used to violence in this country, that the reaction to New Zealand was not as shocking as it was to them. Because I got to be honest with you, when I watched the reaction of people in New Zealand, it was with a, and I pardon the term, but nostalgia. Because I thought, you know, there was a time in which something like that would have paralyzed me, because the whole community was paralyzed by such violence there. And I thought, as Americans, I don't think we get paralyzed by these crimes anymore. And that's a dangerous state to get in. So my point is that I think as human beings, we adapt to our environments. And if our environment is constantly one of being told of violence, then there comes distrust, there comes hardening to handle it. And then, just like my mother said, these crimes continue. And these crimes continue in the same kind of pattern. And we watch it. Because this guy in New Zealand filmed the entire thing. He filmed getting in the car. He filmed his weapons. He filmed him walking into the mosque. And the first thing I thought was, somebody watched that video. There are people who enjoyed watching that video. Or watched the video out of fascination and didn't think anything about it. As they should. Like, there's no way I could ever watch. I mean, even when I saw that he had done that, there's no way I would want to watch that video. Authorities got it off the internet, I believe, pretty quickly, but not immediately. And so this guy knew he had an audience, and he knew somewhere in that audience there was going to be somebody supporting him. Again, we're human beings who are doing this to each other. And somehow we are constantly separating ourselves. You know, it's like we've talked about before, like there was a time in which I needed, going back to my commentary about Christianity and Tammy's response, you know, there was a time where I really needed the world to understand where I was coming from. And I do believe that is a part of youth, is you need the world to understand you as an individual. And for me at the time, it was I needed the world to understand me as a lesbian. And sure, there's still part of me that shares stories in an effort of potential learning, but I've also gained confidence with age, and now I'm at a stage where I just need not only that understanding, but it needs to come together. Like it doesn't even have to be support. We can agree to disagree, but can we just please work together to do something? I mean, I've truly started online to try to watch more videos of hope. I if I'm on Facebook, then I will scroll past any negative banter, any negative video, any political talk. Like I need to feel hopeful, and I need to feel happy, and I need to feel joyful. You know, you can make fun of cat videos all day long, but I mean, as soon as there's a cat video, I'm on it. Usually it ends up, if the funny thing, it ends up being stories about animals. if I look back on the videos that I've watched online over the past week, that yes, cat videos, but also like stories of people who have helped, I don't know, I think it was a turtle that was stranded on a beach. We've all seen these same videos because we share them so much that these videos are probably 10 years old, but we think it happened yesterday. There's some video of a guy and maybe his son or his buddy that dug this turtle, I think, that had been overturned or stuck in the sand or something so it could get back in the ocean. I watched this compilation the other day of horse videos. I've never really been around a horse. I've never ridden a horse, much to my parents' dismay, because they grew up on farms in Kentucky. But I've never ridden a horse. I think I got on a horse a couple times, but I've never actually, like, ridden a horse. I've also never milked a cow. But I've been around cows more than horses. But anyway, it was a compilation about horses. And I was fascinated, because it was like funny things horses do. And then there was a video of somebody who was scuba diving, and there was a seal, and it was a video saying seals are the dogs of the ocean. Have you seen this one? It's the cutest thing ever. And this seal is just so fascinated by the scuba diver and just wanting to be all in its face and wanting it to pet it. And I mean, literally, like, it was like the dog of the ocean. If I have a break at work, or I'm scrolling through Facebook, or I'm doing something like that, I end up watching animal videos, because it seems that at least the videos that are shown are the ones where people are treating animals with kindness, and those kind, you know, people who are tuned into their inner kindness and love animals, there's a whole different change in people's demeanor. And I have a friend who says all the time, and she works with animals and has tried to be around animals her whole life, and she says that she likes animals better than people. And how many times have you said that very thing? How many times have you said, I like animals better than people, or I wish I could be around animals instead of people? And you think about getting that farm, and you think about rescuing every dog that needs rescuing, and you think about, we've all had that fantasy, right? That we just want a sanctuary for animals, and we just live with the animals, and everything will be fine. Well, also don't forget that animals can be very vicious. Animals can be, you know, they're very primal. Animals are going to take care of their territories and their food. So there is an ugly side to the animal world as well. And there's also an ugly side to farm life as well. However, my first thought every time my friend says that is, well, I sure wish that we could feel the same way about people that we do about animals. With animals, they don't communicate with us in our language. If a dog didn't like us, I guess it would growl at us, you know, have nothing to do with us. I guess if a cat didn't like you, the cat wouldn't have anything to do with you. You know, I'm just trying to think about how with humans, maybe the fact that we can't read each other as well as, you know, where animals tend to just be honest about what's going on. I don't know. But we have to learn to be able to interact with each other as people and get the feedback and have awkward conversations and be around people that don't like us and somehow find common ground, because we can't continue in the way that we're continuing.
You're listening to the Progressive Voices Network, and here's a clip from TaraBuster with Tara Devlin.
With Republicans and Trump, he's always talking about when we're separating human children from their human parents, we got to be strong. You're nothing but weak. It is weakness to be an ignorant little fascist, racist, worried about, oh, Jews will not replace us. They're so replaceable, though. That's what's so ironic. Maybe if you weren't so damn replaceable, you wouldn't be worried. If you weren't so inadequate, why would you be so worried about being replaced? Right? I mean, if you're supposed to be so superior, why aren't you just being superior? Why do you need your privilege? Just lay it out equally and you will naturally rise to the top. You're superior, right? But no, they're so upset and worried about being replaced. It doesn't take much to replace them. You just got to be a decent human being. You got to be somebody who's not a weak, little, tiny coward. Because it takes maturity to not be afraid constantly and fearing the other. What the hell are they afraid of? Well, I mean, we know what they're afraid of. They're afraid of us knowing just how inadequate they truly are. Because if they weren't so inadequate, why are you so worried about being replaced? But, I mean, they can't be replaced fast enough.
This is Tara Devlin from RDTDaily.com, and that was a clip from Tara Buster.
Tara Buster is recorded live every Saturday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern at the RDT Daily Facebook and YouTube channels, and rebroadcast on Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Progressive Voices, or anytime on demand on the Progressive Voices app.
Support RDT Daily and the Progressive Voices Network. Remember, we stick together, we win.
Try and get up every morning, day after day, and work for a living. Let's see him try that. Then we'll see who's the real tough guy. The working man is the tough guy.
With me, Joe Wilson, a wealth management advisor with a big money management house.
More money, yo money, Joe money.
I get an opportunity to help people turn their money into memories.
We're happy to get the kind of money that jingles, but we'd rather get the kind that folds.
Not your grandpa's financial show. This is your money guy, Joe Wilson, on Progressive Voices Network.
What's going on, my money mavens and moolah misfits? It's me, your money guy, Joe Wilson of the Joe Knows Money Show, reporting live on Progressive Voices Network, delivering you 4 minutes of money news you can use. Trending this week in money news, in a recent Federal Reserve Board study, only 53% of respondents indicate that they could cover a hypothetical emergency expense costing $400 without selling something or borrowing money. In some cases, it's a lack of income that creates the financial stress. In many cases, however, the problem is overspending. That leads me to my next topic, 5 budgeting tips. Tip number 1, understand the goal. The goal of a budget is not to track every dime that we spend. The goal of a budget is to help us control our spending so that we can spend less than what we make and focus on spending on what matters most to us. However you choose the budget, it should meet this goal. If it doesn't, you're doing it wrong. Tip number 2, keep it simple. The best way to get started is to put together a very basic list of your monthly income, i.e. your paycheck and expenses. Just give it your best guess. Stick to listing things that can easily be identified, such as rent, car payment, insurance, utilities, etc. As time goes by, you can add more detail. Tip number 3, track spending for a week. While not the goal of budgeting, tracking every dime you spend for a short period of time will be eye-opening. It will show you how spending even small amounts of money add up over time. It will also reveal areas of spending that otherwise go unnoticed. Ideally, one should track their spending for a full month, but even tracking for a week can provide valuable information about your spending patterns. Tip number 4. Charge it. Paying with plastic is an easy way to monitor your spending. If you need to know how much you spend on something during the month, you'll have that information at your fingertips. Using a reward credit card can also add cash to your bank account. If you don't want to use a credit card, use a bank debit card or a prepaid card instead, preferably one that charges very little in fees. Tip number 5, try the 50-20-30 plan. Popularized by Senator Elizabeth Warren in her book, All Your Worth, this approach to budgeting benefits from simplicity. With this plan, 50% of income goes to necessities, 20% to long-term savings, and 30% to lifestyle choices. This plan can be a good starting point for those struggling to decide how much they should spend on an individual budget category. Now it's time for Joe's Money Trap of the Day. Given the goal of budgeting, most people do not need to track every dime they spend. For example, knowing how much you'll spend on gasoline may be interesting, but if it doesn't change your behavior, there's no point in tracking this expense. Most people overspend in just a few categories. Common examples include eating out, buying clothes, buying gadgets, and entertainment. Using the data accumulated from tracking your spending, pick the 3 budget categories you'll like to bring under control and monitor your spending in just these areas. Here's Joe's money grab of the day. Save first. Remember, the goal of budgeting is to spend less than we make. One of the best ways to do this is to save first, rather than spending what is left over at the end of each month. Save first and spend the rest. This strategy takes advantage of behavioral finance. By getting money out of your checking account into your savings first, we are less likely to spend our savings during the month. And now it's time for Joe's quote of the day. The budget is just not a collection of numbers, but an expression of values and aspirations. This is a quote by Jacob Liu. You are listening to the Joe Knows Money Show on Progressive Voices Network. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Joe Knows Money and on Twitter at Joe Knows Money.
Ever really think about what ideas can do? Well, then you realize the size of the thinker does not determine or even limit the size of the idea. Well, that's what my children's book is all about. It's called Whale of an Idea. And if you need a gift for a baby shower or a birthday, I would love for you to consider it. Whale of an Idea, available now online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. There's actually a new app available that helps supporters of President Trump find restaurants where they will be safe. Not kidding. The app is called 63 Red Safe. So 63 R-E-D Safe. 63 R-E-D Safe. It rates businesses as either safe or not safe based on criteria like whether they post political content on social media, which would mark them not safe, and whether customers are allowed to carry guns. That's marked safe. Restaurants that are allowed to carry guns for President Trump supporters are deemed safe territories. Scott Wallace is the developer of this app, and he says it's needed due to the, and I quote, rise of the socialist goon squad. I have heard so many conservatives recently just scream the word socialism. And I find that very funny. Because they have taken advantage of socialist policies like public school, but socialist goon squad. Talking about the disconnect between human beings. This has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with health. And the hospital in California, which is Kaiser Permanente Medical Center, is having to apologize to the family of Ernest Quintana. Ernest, 78 years old, passed away at Kaiser Permanente Medical Center. The reason that the hospital has to apologize to his family is because the hospital sent a robot to tell him he was dying. The robot was rolled into the room where Ernest was, and a doctor on its video screen informed him that he only had days to live. And his daughter says that news should be delivered by a human being. Now, a story about connecting with someone you never thought you might connect with. Okay, so I'm going to turn the tables and give you a happy story about human connection in an old-fashioned way. Did you ever, as a kid, fantasize about throwing a message in a bottle and having it go somewhere, wondering where it goes? I certainly did, but I grew up in Tennessee, and there's no coast. There's no coast. I mean, there's lakes. I could have thrown a bottle in a lake, I guess. Not as romantic as throwing it in the ocean. But next door in North Carolina, there was a girl who wanted to do this very thing. And the cool thing is, this 9-year-old was able to do it as part of a school science project. So first of all, kudos to the teacher for having a cool science project. I mean, that's science. It's making it fun for the students. And so Laura Terry is the 9-year-old who had a message in a bottle, and a U.S. Coast Guard captain in a U.S. Coast Guard ship took the bottle and threw it in the Gulf Stream, about 40 miles off the coast of North Carolina. Wondered where it went. The girl thought it might have just sunk. I mean, who knows? It's a nice dream, but in reality, is something really going to happen with this bottle? A year and a few months later, 15 months later, and 3,700 miles away in Duhoma Beach, Ireland, Bertie Patton found the bottle. She was able to reach out to Laura and let her know that she had it. How cool is that? Well, first of all, the trick is to get it in the Gulf Stream. So if you're not from the South and not familiar with the Gulf Stream, it is a really cool basic interstate system from the Gulf of Mexico all the way up to the British Isles. It is credited for giving the British Isles the weather that it has, because at that elevation in Europe, and basically Europe, right? Am I right about that? The reason Europe and England and Ireland and Scotland and all that area is not a frozen tundra is because of the weather that's brought on by the Gulf Stream. It's almost like the jet stream. The jet stream is its own little faster-paced avenue amongst the air. Well, the Gulf Stream is a fast-paced avenue in the ocean. I think the key is the fact that the bottle couldn't sink, I guess, because of the Gulf Stream, right? And it took it all the way up to Ireland. How neat is that? And one last story, Eileen Murray. I want to give her kudos for staying strong. Eileen's 53 years old. And she is the ex-wife of a guy who just won the lottery. Her ex-husband won $273 million in a Mega Millions lottery. Don't you know he was like, oh, I wonder where Eileen is now. Now you see me. But Eileen came out publicly and said, I don't want him back. She said, he's not appealing to me all of a sudden because he has this money. She says, I have morals. Eileen Murray, doesn't matter that he's $273 million richer. I don't know what the hell this man did. But Eileen's like, I don't want to have anything to do with it. She will give up that money so that she doesn't have anything to do with this, with this man. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who is male, and he was so proud of himself because he went bra shopping with his girlfriend, and they've been together about a year. So it was the first time he had really gone bra shopping with her, and he was able to correctly guess her bra size. And it takes talent, and he was very proud of himself, as he should be. But I did say to him, as wonderful as that is an industry that needs a revolution. I can tell you that I don't know if I've ever worn a bra that fit. I mean, fit just right. I have two bras right now, both brand name bras. I've had the cheap bras and the expensive bras. Well, I know. I take that back. I will not pay over $100 for a bra. Maybe that's the problem, but then again, why are you charging me over $100 for a bra, honestly? I've tried to describe it to guys. I'm just like, you just wearing a vest all day. You're wearing a tight vest all day. These two bras I've got right now. The first one, so the reason I have these two new bras and I want to talk about them, because I was the same bra size technically probably from high school on, from puberty on. So I was pretty much the same body type up until my 40s. For reasons I've said on the air before, I do not associate it with age and metabolism. I associate it with the fact that I had a kid and got lazy. And lazy meaning eating. I'm not lazy with him. I'm probably more physically active having a child. But the problem, if you don't have children and you've seen friends gain weight with children, it has less to do with the fact that they carried the kid, because I didn't carry my child. It has to do with the fact that you don't prepare things and you usually eat the leftovers of what you fed your kid. And toddlers and young kids are so picky about what they eat. They're not quite at the level yet of eating meat and vegetables. They are eating fish sticks. They are eating chicken nuggets. They are eating ketchup. They're eating macaroni and cheese. They are eating, you put some of the most random shit together to make sure that kid eats, because you just want calories in these children, because a lot of these children will not eat. And that includes my son. And so you end up fixing that for them, and then you're not going to fix a separate meal for you. Then you end up eating what they don't eat because they don't have a big appetite. So you're going to fix this whole thing of mac and cheese, and then they're not going to eat the whole thing. So you eat the mac and cheese, and then they're not going to eat all the chicken nuggets. So you end up eating the chicken nuggets. So basically, yes, I gained more weight than I've ever had on me from eating whatever was on my child's plate in the house, whatever. And the funny thing is that my son doesn't like sugar. Like, he doesn't eat bad things. So on top of whatever I was doing, if we were at a birthday party or whatever is going on and there's cupcakes or cake, like, my son, he's like, that's mama's, you know, he wanted to give it to me. I'd eat it. I had the same bra size pretty much my entire life until I became a mother. And then I have never had boobs before. I've never had a lot of cleavage before. So it was a fascinating experience for me to, you know, finally have a chest. But I was like, it has been so long. I don't know what the hell size I am. Now, going back to those two bras, I decided to take the time and go to the store and try them on and do all this. And my body size, my body type, like, I'm tall and long, long arms, long legs, no hips, no ass. And when I'm in shape, no boobs, like, it really truly built like a 2x4. But my torso is thick. Hopefully you understand what I'm talking about, because there are some women who have really petite rib cage torsos, and I'm not one of them. I've got a solid torso. So my bra sizes are usually having to fit that less than the cup, because I didn't have a big cup. Then when I got bigger, the chest size didn't increase too much, but the cup size did. It was a whole new, like, I didn't know what to get. I didn't know what measurement. I didn't know. So anyway, I got something that was one bra size up and one cup size up, and the other one two bra sizes up and the same cup size, if that makes sense. So I got two different sizes, because each one made by two different manufacturers, each one made by a different person, fit me differently. Okay, fine. One of them is a little lacy, and one of them is like a pretty pastel. Okay? The lacy one, I wore that, and and my boobs are not, you know, they're not plastic surgery. They got their own shape, and it's more like a Dixie cup than it is a balloon. And so there's always, it doesn't matter what bra I've got, there's always going to be a little bit of gaping. And I just have to minimize that gape and hope it doesn't show in shirts, because I don't fill the whole cup. And there's a little bit of gaping in the lacy one. But then what I realized was happening is the fucking, the plastic darts on the side of this fucking bra, on one side in particular, kind of goes in more so than the other, and it stabs me all fucking day long. And that's another thing. I've had bras, when my bras wear out, it is always that, the darts of death. Like, it's either right there in the middle of the cleavage, where, you know, the underside, you know, they curve and it pops through the material, or it pops through material in other places. They don't make bras the way, the bra industry just pisses me off. So anyway, this has not popped through the cloth, but it is enough to stab me in the side as I walk. And then on top of that, you've got the lace material that is rubbing my skin, and it's like, this fucking thing. So the pastel bra, okay, fine. Well, the pastel bra that's not as lacy, more comfortable to my skin. But listen to this shit. So what this bra does, and I would give the I mean, I might as well just call out who. Hold on. We'll get these bras, because I do this show from home. I got the bras right here, because, you know, it's early in the morning. I don't have a bra on, but I'm going to tell you who makes these bras. The lacy bra is is Jessica Simpson. I love Jessica Simpson. I had the privilege of meeting Jessica Simpson, and I'm telling you, she is much smarter than she gives off. I mean, there's a reason why she's made a ton of money in fashion. She's not a dummy. But her bra, I mean, this bra, honey, Lord, this thing just hurts. Okay, so then this fucking thing. So the pastel bra that I'm about to tell you about is Isaac Mizrahi and his fucking headband. All right, let me tell you what he's done with this bra. So for whatever reason, he manufactured a bra where the strap, how do I describe it? It detaches. The strap over your shoulders, your shoulder straps in this bra, not in the front, but over the shoulder and in the back, there's a hook, like an eye hook, and you can slip it out. So I guess the idea was, if you can detach that strap, then maybe you can adjust it much easier than if it was attached. But let me tell you what this fucker does during the day. So my comfortable bra during the day is I'm moving around and doing my thing. I think I was at work when it first happened, or maybe I was at home, but all of a sudden I felt a slacking. It had to be at home because I remember having a short sleeve shirt on. I think I was doing something with Mr. Carter, and the shoulder strap all of a sudden peeked out from my short sleeve shirt. It's a purple pastel bra. And I looked down like, what the hell? And it had come loose. So as you're moving your body, your skin slowly, slowly, slowly pulls that little hook out from from its sleeve, and your bra strap pops off. And it's happened at work where both of them have done it. And I've had to go to the bathroom, take my shirt off, take my bra off, put it back together, and put it back on. I can't remember an experience with a bra in which I was impressed. I mean, sure, there are some that look great, so it's not necessarily about the way they look, but it's functional. A functional bra that doesn't have bra straps that pop off, that doesn't dig into your shoulders, that doesn't dig into your torso. I remember one time when I was on the Burt Show here in Atlanta, there was somebody so proud about that they were going to come fit us all for bras. So I'm like, oh, sure. So we went into a private office, one at a time, the ladies on the show. They measured us. It was a local department store. And they put me in a bra saying that, you know, ladies, you're all wearing the wrong size. And they suggested that I was wearing too big a size. Now, this is back when I was wearing the same size I'd worn since high school. And they're like, you're wearing something too big. So they put me in a bra that was so tight around my torso. They said that instead of using your straps to pull your breast up and make them perky, that they should be pushed up from the strap around your torso instead of the bra strap, like the main wrap around your torso. And that thing was like a corset, like a vice. And that was uncomfortable as hell. It's one thing if I'm a mannequin and I'm standing there and not doing anything. It's another thing where I'm an active woman who is doing things throughout the day. I'm in the car. I'm out of the car. I'm at work in a radio studio. I am adjusting mic stands. I am doing whatever at work that you do. And then I have a toddler and I'm lifting my toddler and moving my toddler, making sure my toddler, I mean, I'm constantly moving just like any other normal woman. Lifting groceries, especially if you were in more of a blue collar job and you're actually being physical while you're at work, fucking make a bra that is something that can be worn all day. You can work in it. You can live in it. There is a reason why women, the first fucking thing they do when they go home is what? Take off their bra. There is a reason why men have understood that once that bra's off, that woman ain't doing it. She's done for the night. Done for the night, because there's no way in hell I'm putting that piece of shit back on my body again. If bras were comfortable, we wouldn't have, it wouldn't be that way. All right. The reason I bring this up is to vent, but also, I mean, because that bra comes off. So, and sometimes the bra tries to come off on its own, especially when I'm in that straps come off by themselves bra. But the reason I bring this up is I found something that is, and I don't, it's not an endorsement because I don't know if it works. It's one of those things like with the people that helped me move. I don't know whether I should give the information out first because I'd rather test it myself and not give you erroneous information. But this is, you know, this is different. This is a bra. This is something that we all have issues with. You may have heard of this. You may not have, but Soma.com, S-O-M-A, this is not an endorsement. I don't know if this shit's going to work or not, ladies, okay? But Soma.com, I found it in a magazine. There's a magazine called The Week that I like. It's a news magazine. And they had Soma in one of their articles because it's the first lingerie retailer to create a smart bra. That's right, a smart bra. You slip into this bra and it measures your exact fit. And the app tells you what size you are. Now, this bra is not available. It will be available, I think, in a couple weeks. I mean, it's pre-orders. Soma.com, S-O-M-A.com. It was like $50, $60. Still much cheaper than any bra. And again, it says, I reiterate, I don't know if this works, but I wanted to share it with you. It says that you slip this on and it will tell you your exact size through an app because it's a smart bra. If it works, great. If it doesn't, at least they're on the right track because this is what every department store should have. I mean, this is where you should be able to have something like this, that, I mean, we have technology that can do all these other things, but again, when it comes to women, people aren't putting the money into it, and hopefully this will help. So I'm supposed to get it in a few weeks. Like I said, it was pre-order, and then apparently I'll know what bra size I am, because these two bras, like I'm using them as much as I can until I can figure out exactly what bra size I need. And the cool thing about owning this smart bra is, if I do decide to get back into shape, if I do end up going back to a similar weight that I have been a lot of my life, I can put that smart bra back on and see exactly how my bra size has changed. Submit a bracket for this tournament that's going on. If you rolled your eyes and thought, oh God, no. But then there's some that are really involved. It's one of those things that I've mentioned about how fun things that can bring work friends closer together. I'm a part of a pool at work, and I'm a basketball fan. Grew up with the University of Tennessee Lady Vols, go Vols. And then the past couple of years, the men have been great. So I'm all invested and participating, and it's a paid pool in my office. Usually I participate in free pools. I do see a guy who just has refused to participate, who just thinks basketball is boring, and he just protests basketball so much. He thinks it's so silly because he's such a football fan. This is an opportunity where you're not participating in something that other people are participating in that's fun. A friend of mine at work who was going to participate decided to give the bracket to her 8-year-old son, who's a basketball fan, had him pick, 8-year-old picks. So we'll see how she does. But it's a fun thing to do at the office. But I am competitive. myself and somebody else, and he tipped me off on this. One of my friends at work, he doesn't know crap about basketball, but he wanted to be a part of it. It's his first year at the company. He decided to have some kind of strategy to it. He looked up the statistics for free throw percentages by team. And the team that had the best free throw percentage, he decided that he was going to let that team advance. I don't know how well he'll do. He said he got the idea from someone else who did well in their pool by doing this, because the idea was the more free throws you make, the higher your score is going to be, and that if you take advantage of those, then you'll likely win your game. And I am a believer, by the way, that there really should be no free throw that's missed. It's the same shot from the same distance. It's a free throw. And I never understood why guys have a low free throw percentage, because it's the same shot. I took a different strategy than him, because I thought, well, okay, if we're going to do it based on a percentage, then I did it based on rebound percentages. Because my thought is, if a team hustles and gets possession of the ball more often, they have more opportunities to score. So I actually used the rebound percentages for my teams and submitted that. If I actually did well, or he actually did well on that, then if you were somebody who doesn't care about basketball but wants to be competitive in your pool next year, then I'll let you know whether that actually works or whether it's just a crapshoot like it feels, and that sometimes random teams win because they upset somebody and the team who's favored to win doesn't end up winning the whole thing. We'll see.
Hey kids, do you listen to us on ProgressiveVoices.com? Well, as the Progressive Voices audience has grown, so have our bandwidth costs. I mean, we've tried to protect the limited commercial nature of the stream, so to keep up with costs, we need your help. Talking to you, you might say we're victims of our own success. With nearly a million regular listeners, the cost of operating the stream has grown beyond our wildest expectations. If you want to continue enjoying my show and others on the free mobile Progressive Voices platform, pitch in now. Won't you go to ProgressiveVoices.com /donate and hit that donate button. ProgressiveVoices.com. Do it now.
If you want to continue enjoying great shows like Randy Rhoads, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Leslie Marshall, and so many others on the free mobile Progressive Voices platform, please go to ProgressiveVoices.com and press the donate button right now. Thank you.
I want to thank you for being part of She Persisted. We couldn't do it without you. ProgressiveVoices.com is the website. You can catch all of their podcasts there, their shows there. We're included in that. ShePersistedShow.com is our website where you can catch past episodes and guests that we've had on the show. If you're online, you can see She Persisted Show on Facebook. And you add the show at the end of She Persisted if you're looking for things, and that's how you'll find them. And iTunes, She Persisted Show is the podcast there, and you don't have to miss an episode if you're subscribed. Melissa Carter ATL on both Facebook and Instagram, and Melissa Carter on Twitter, 1L, 2 S's. Our quote of the day comes from author and pastor Nadia Boltz Weber, and she tells The New Yorker, "Self-righteousness feels good for a moment, but only in the way that peeing your pants feels warm for a moment." I hope you have a fantastic day. Please do something special for yourself, and also reach out to people. I had a tough mom moment the other week. I lost my temper with Mr. Carter, and I try not to do that, but it happened. And it was something that I shouldn't have lost my temper over, because I was tired and I was hungry, and it was at the end of the day and he wasn't listening to me, and I lost it. I felt terrible about it for half a day before I shared it with anybody. That was probably a full day before I shared it with a friend who had called me about something else. And she was telling me about something that she was involved in, and she was excited about it. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to be vulnerable and be transparent, because again, that's what you do with friends. And at the end of the conversation, I didn't interrupt what she was doing. I didn't interrupt my support of her. But before we got off the phone, I said, you know, and I explained to her what happened. And I was brutally honest about the details of it, and just because it was something that was my fault. She was able to lift me up out of that stress and out of that self-judgment, and let me know that, you know, every opportunity is an opportunity to teach. And she's like, you know, this is perfect, because this way, next time he is struggling with losing his temper and his anger about something, you have an example to say, hey, do you remember that time that I did this? And you can use it as a learning tool. I also, to let you know, I apologize to my son after the fact, because it truly was my fault. And I apologize soon after the incident happened, because I wanted him to understand that I'm going to apologize to him too. So she praised me on that everything is useful, that every opportunity is useful. Now, that's something I totally know. That's something I have said before. That is something that is something I've told other people in giving them advice. But I do think this idea, again, of us coming together, well, don't forget to do that with your friends as well, because perfection is not the goal. I even said in my conversation with my friend, I know that, but somehow I feel like I have to be perfect. I have to be the perfect mom. I can't ruin him. I can't teach him things that I don't want to teach him, because then I'll feel like I failed him. And I don't want to teach him to be a man who loses his temper at small things. I just went into this downward spiral, but it is interesting that when you go through it and you go into that self-pity or in that self-judgment, it is a time to come together with your friends and to go ahead and ask for help. Ask for help from your friends, because they're there for you. Because my friend had the perfect response that helped me snap out of it and feel better about it and get over it. I told her, I said, you know, my point with my son is I want to teach him how to shake things off that frustrate him, because everything's new to him. So when he gets frustrated by something, he really is like, wait a second, like this is, he misinterprets it as being important because he's frustrated by it. When I said, you know, I'm just trying to teach him how to shake things off, she reminded me, she said, well, Melissa, you got to shake this off too. I mean, how can you teach him to shake it off when you're not even shaking it off? It was just, it just reiterated what we all talk about, is sometimes doing something special for yourself also includes getting help. And don't forget that sometimes it takes teamwork in order to achieve something, and that you don't have to do it on your own, and you don't have to be perfect. In fact, it's impossible to be perfect. And when you are in a position where you can't give yourself that advice, then reach out to somebody else who can. But it is also important that when that happens, to understand that you are the source of your life, and you have to learn to be able to give yourself that advice as well. We're all in this together, right? Right. So do something special for yourself. Don't forget to smile. Don't forget to laugh. And don't forget that the whole point is to find some kind of joy in your day. Some kind of joy. And if you haven't felt joy in a while, it's time to start doing that. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Say, this is Mr. Carter.
This is Mr. Carter.
And you're listening to?
Listen to?
My mom.
My mom.
On She Persisted.
Just from... Uh-oh.